Good evening. We will start in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. As we sit here tonight, we sit with a vast array of abilities in this building. And I think that Scripture tells us that in a roundabout way. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave each and every one of us abilities, different abilities, but abilities. I do not have John Lee's abilities, and I'll never have John Lee's abilities to speak. I don't have Rick Sparks' abilities, but I do have Doug's abilities to do things in the church. And why did he give us those? He tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's all to help the church grow and to become stronger. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we're here tonight, is it not? We're here to be edified in different ways. It edifies me to see everybody sitting here tonight. And hopefully, in some small way, you'll be edified by what I say tonight. But also singing helps us edify. We all have abilities. Why is that given to us? That we be no more children tossed to and fro, following every doctrine brought forth by man. There are a lot of doctrines out there. You don't think there's a lot of doctrines out there, but there are. It's convenience more than anything else. Okay, you want this to be more convenient? We'll do it. You want this to feel more comfortable? We'll do it. But are you being edified by that? I'd have to question whether the edification is happening or whether it's just filling the seats. Verse 16 tells us, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Vandalia is one big body of believers, but yet we are separate individuals, but yet we are one complete body. We are arms, legs, heads, mouths. We're all different parts that bring this whole group together as one. And that's what he's telling us in this scripture. We are to be edified by doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting the 12th verse. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, who, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of ye. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I I've had a sore arm now for almost a month and a half, but it hasn't stopped me. It should have stopped me, according to my doctor and my surgeon. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I don't have the talent to stop. I do have the talent to stop, but I just ain't smart enough to do it. But I still work, but yet my arm tells me there are certain things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to reach above my head and yank a microwave off a shelf that I used to yank from up here, or I'm going to be wearing that microwave either on my steel-toe boots or in the middle of my forehead. Okay, so I ask for help because my body is not one body at this point in time. It is a broken body. We as members of the Church of Christ and of the Church of Vandalia are one body, but yet we have to make sure that we know what part of the body we are. Are we the ear? Are we the foot? Are we the arms? But we're all one important part of that body. And we're to do it to fulfill, to support the whole body. Verse 26 tells us, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. So one member or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it." Isn't one of you out there suffering with me in my shoulder, except you got to listen to me complain about it all the time? But yeah, we have members of this group that are suffering, and we need to know about that suffering. We need to be concerned about that suffering, because that might be the arm of this congregation that we need to get healthy again. It might be the eye of this congregation that we need to get healthy again. It might be the ear of this congregation. But we are one member, and we should all suffer as members of that one body. One member suffers, all should suffer with it. And we should have the same care for one another. We should know when our brothers are suffering. And unfortunately, I don't think I pay them enough attention to when my brothers are suffering, because I'm sure there are some out there that are suffering. A lot worse than just a sore shoulder, probably. And it's keeping them from filling the seats of this congregation, possibly. And we need to be concerned about that, because that could be the one person that inspires somebody by showing up. Just being here would inspire somebody. So when I just look at how inspired we are when Walter shows up, or when Bonnie shows up, or when Pam shows up now, because we know what they're going through. We know what they're suffering. But there are other things that are being suffered that we need to make sure of. These two scriptures are a good example of how important we are to the productivity and life of the church that we are a part of. We are an important part of the Vandalia Church of Christ, but we are also an important part of the Church of Christ in the United States, because we should give strength to the other groups. We should be ready to serve them if they need to be served. But yet our main concern should be right here in this group. Our talents should be best utilized right here, because we are the group we're trying to utilize and we're trying to strengthen. What I'm pulling from this tonight a little bit is the thought of talents, because we all have different talents. All of us have talents. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. We all have different talents, but not everybody has the same talent. You know what? A company will not succeed without different levels of talent. I am not the chief executive officer and president of Goodwin Tucker Group. I'm not even upper management. I'm not even a CSR, customer service representative. But I am an important part of that success of that company, because without me being in my van, I'm not making money for the CSRs. I'm not making money for the CEO. I'm not making money for the upper management. But then I'm also an important part of that company because I could be out there causing problems for the upper management, for the CSRs, and for all the other people. So they are all one part working together. If they don't work together, the company's not going to survive. So why should we think that the Vandalia Church of Christ would not survive if we do not all work together? And I'm not knocking us here. I'm stepping on my own toes here, because I think I need to be a little more involved, because recently I've just been tired. I come home at night, it's dark, I just don't want to do nothing. I've got a sign out here that I saw was burnt out now. I got to figure that out. I've got a baptistry leaking in back. I'm just tired. I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, I want to do it, but I just can't talk myself into it. So somebody needs to kick me in the butt and say, hey, you know, you're the arm that can fix, you need to fix that so we can continue to go. Because if I drain a baptistry because I got a leak and I can't find it, what good does that do if somebody wants to be baptized? We're back to where we were 15 years ago trying to get to Pleasant Hill or Charles's Pond and baptize somebody, which isn't a bad thing, but yet it's we have the ability here to do it. So I'm trying to kick myself to get myself going a little bit. It's hard this time of year because it's dark, it's dreary. We should be looking at probably 2 foot of snow on the ground right now. We're not, thank goodness. But yet, 2 foot of snow would cover up my yard, which is nothing but mud from one fence line to the other and covered in garbage from the dogs. And then I wouldn't have to look at it every night. Because that's, I want it covered up. Then I don't have to worry about it till spring. And by that time, maybe it'll all wash over to the next. And I'm just joking, Tim. Just joking, Tim. But I have talents, and I need to know how to use those. But we all have talents. Working at our work at working here. We know we have talents in our daily walks. Back in the day, and I don't think they do it anymore, but back in the day when I was younger, a mechanic would take a screwdriver and hold it on the engine, the valve cover of a car, and put his ear on that, and he would listen, and he could tell some, if he was good mechanic, he could tell which cylinder was making noises. That's a talent. I'd probably try to do that, and I'd stick it in the spark plug hole and get shocked. Or I'd be listening to the exhaust pipe. But they have talents. A doctor using a stethoscope can hear internal problems inside the human body and can start to work on that. I'd put a stethoscope in my ear, and all I'd hear was bump, 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 bump. I wouldn't know anything about it if it went bump, 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 bump. It'd be normal to me, I guess. I don't know. The doctor would say, I think we need to get you to the hospital right away. He has talents. It's something that I've been looking at, not looking at, but noticing, is I wear work boots when I work, and I wear flat heels. God gave talents to certain people. They can walk in high heels that are this tall and not break an ankle. I can't do that. I don't know how they don't break an ankle. If they put me in high heels, told me to go fix a piece of equipment, yeah, well, forget. I'm going to have two broken ankles, a broken leg, and a broken arm, and probably be laid up for a year and a half. But people have talents. Now, all joking aside, we do have talents, and we need to use those. We need to use them. And why do we need to use those talents? Because it tells us that in 1 Corinthians 14:26. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I'm not reading the rest of this, but I like the last part of that verse. Let all things be done unto edifying. Our talents are to be used to edify the group here at Vandalia. We are to try to edify this group. Is the song leader important to the service? I think it is. Not only does he start the service, he sets the tempo for the service. Is the reading important? Yes, it is. Because I don't read the Bible as often as I should. So it's nice to hear the Bible read. That's one of the talents I need to work on, is reading the Bible. I hear people talk about getting out of bed in the morning and reading the Bible. I get out of bed in the morning, I'm trying to get my wife up, the kids up. I'm trying to get my van started without locking the keys in it again for 45 minutes with it running out here until they bring me a set of keys. I'm trying to get to work. I know I get up at 6:45 and I'm going to leave at 7:15. That's a half hour. I need to start getting up at 6:15 and starting leaving at 7:15 and taking that extra 20 minutes to read the scriptures. But I don't have that ability. I do have that ability, but I don't have that talent. I need somebody to coach me and say, hey, did you read anything this week? Maybe that's something you could do for me to edify me. Is the communion important? Well, I know it is, because that's why we come here on Sunday mornings, to remember Christ's death and resurrection. Is the lesson important? Yes, it is, because that gives us things to think about. You may not walk out here tonight with anything to think about. I may have just rambled for 30 minutes or whatever. If you didn't pick anything up, then I didn't do my job properly. But hopefully I can leave you with a little bit that you can meditate on and think about. If nothing else, think about kicking Doug in the rear end and tell him to read the Bible once in a while. Take some time to do that. And our bodies in the seat's important? Nah, that's probably one of the real important things. So if I was standing up here tonight talking to an empty building, what good would it do? Who would I be edifying? I'd be edifying the ceiling fans and myself. And I'd need to edify other people. But I need to be edified by you guys sitting here listening to me. Those are all how we edify each other. Paul said in the scriptures in Corinthians, "Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Somebody can say five words during a mutual edification, and it'll do more for most of the group than hearing a 20,000 word essay or lesson given on a Sunday evening. Sometimes five words can do more, and that's what Paul says. I'd rather do it with five words and mean what I say and have it understood so I can teach somebody than to say 10,000 words that not a person can understand. It'd be like going to the United Nations and sit there and listen to all these people ramble. They have to have hearing devices on so they can translate what's being said. And it's just not very good. Hopefully I'm not speaking in tongues where I can't be understood tonight, or I might as well sit down because I'm not edifying anybody but myself. And we need to make sure that we do not sway how we use our talents by comparing ourselves to another person. Use your talents as you know to use them. Matthew chapter 25, starting the 14th verse, brings that out quite explicitly to me. Matthew 25, starting the 14th verse. I'm working on a talent tonight. I'm trying to slow down a little bit, because I have a tendency to try to race through these things and I get all tongue-twisted. So I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. You caught that, didn't you? Tongue-twisted? That's not the worst thing I've said in the group. No. Trying not to do that again, too. I'm working on my talents. I'll get them fiery darts out right. It's not in here tonight, but I'll get them out right. Matthew chapter 25, starting in the 14th verse. I'm rambling. I turned to the wrong chapter. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them five other talents. And likewise he that had received two talents, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. That is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Therefore take that talent from him, and give it to him which hath ten talents." We're all familiar with the parable of the talents. I look at that tonight, and I think, the parable of the talents, how does that apply to Doug? Did God give me five talents? Did God give me two talents? Or one talent, yes. I don't know. God gave me talents, and he expects me to use them. And I think if I don't use those talents, he's going to come to me sometime, probably in judgment, he's going to say, why didn't you use the talents I gave you? There are many scriptures in the Bible, I think, that bring that out to us. The story of the sheep and the goats. Is that not an example of not using our talents? The example of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man did not use his talents. He had the ability to help Lazarus, but he did not do it. And he was called on the carpet for it. So God gives me talents, and he expects me to be able to use those talents. Now, do I have the talent of John Lee or Rick Sparks? And if they're sitting in a group and suddenly somebody that was supposed to give a lesson isn't able to give that lesson, and they could get up and give a lesson probably right off the cuff. Greg and Charles can get up if somebody doesn't have, like me, on Wednesday evening class, and I call them at 5 o'clock at night and say, I'm not going to make it. They could put together a class pretty quick. I don't have that ability. I'd be a nervous wreck trying to do that. But I have other talents. I can show up on a Sunday morning and find out, okay, our Lord's Table people didn't show up, or they're busy, they're sick, they didn't get a chance to call somebody. I can put together a Lord's Table, and I think I could put a pretty good, a pretty effective one. I'm not patting my own self on the back here. That's how I tore my arm. I'll pat myself on the back. No, I could put together one that would be effective, I think, because I have that talent. But I don't have the talent to maybe put together a 30, 40-minute lesson right off the bat, right off the cuff. I could probably ramble through and try to do it, but I don't know how much sense I would make. I can lead songs. I could find out the last minute I need to lead songs for somebody. I have that ability. Who here doesn't have the ability to say a prayer? I mean, we don't specify who's going to say the prayers like some groups do, so we don't know that we're going to be called on for a prayer. Might be a lot less stressful if we did, but yet I think sometimes the prayers that come off the cuff are the better prayers because you haven't rehearsed them. I always get knocked at home because I have somewhat the same prayer for blessing the food. I should come up with a special blessing for lasagna and spaghetti and a generic prayer for tacos and the kind of stuff I don't like to eat. But I give a generic prayer, and I'm not using my talents to my ability. I've just kind of decided I've got that talent. I can say a prayer for dinner, and I'm going to leave it at that. Hopefully, I don't do that in the church when I'm here at the church. Hopefully, you don't come up to me and say, "By the way, that's the same prayer you gave the last 14 times. By the way, I've got it recorded. I can tell you that." That better not happen, because then I'm not giving it from the heart. I'm just giving it from as repetition. And it talks about vain repetition. But we all have separate talents. We all have even the ladies sitting here tonight have talents. You put me downstairs in a small kids class, yeah, I'd be a flithering blitty at time the class was over, because I can't. I'm good with kids, but that many kids, I'm probably not good. Just ask my family. I get three grandkids running around the house. I'm looking for the bedroom after about 20 minutes, which is a bad thing. I shouldn't be doing that. But I don't have the talent in order to teach young kids like I should. But the ladies sitting here do. Hopefully I have a talent to bring smile to people's faces when I walk through the door. And I hope when I walk through the door they don't frown and snarl at me. Oh, all right, Doug's here again. I hope I put smiles on their faces. The best use of our talents is in the body of the church here at Vandalia. But we also need to see how we can use our talents in our daily walks. I can do a lot of good here at Vandalia Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. But I need to be able to do good the rest of the week when I'm out amongst the world. I need people to know that I am a member of the Church of Christ. I am a believer in Christ, and I do have a hope of eternal salvation. Sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's hard. It's hard for me because I get mixed up in the world. I get mixed up in the things I'm doing on a daily basis, and I forget about it. That's where I need to start maybe studying the Bible a little more in the morning. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. Starting in the third verse. Colossians 4, starting in the third verse. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. praying that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak of the mystery. I need to look for those opportunities to speak of my love of Christ and His love for me and what He's done. And how much the Vandalia Church of Christ, or the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ, or the Dean Avenue Church of Christ can do for their soul. Because if all I do is work with them for 3 or 4 hours, they see I don't swear, they see I don't throw things, they might know I'm a little different than the rest of them. But do they really know? Well, he just has control over himself. I'll bet when he gets home, he's a different man. Well, I hope they don't think that. But if they don't know that I have the love of Christ in my life and those talents in order to spread that to other people, what good does it do? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. If I show up for work at 8 o'clock in the morning and all I do is sit in my van in the parking lot till 4 o'clock at night, have I redeemed the time very well for Goodwin Tucker? Nope. In fact, they wouldn't let me sit there that long, because they can track where my van is at all times. So they wouldn't let me do that. But I need to redeem the time. Why then should I not be willing to spread the word to those around me and redeem that time? I can talk about a lot of things. You get me started on IndyCar racing, I'll talk for hours. I can have fun doing that. You get Trent started on football, fantasy football, whatever that thing is we're doing, he could talk for hours about that. Tell you who's winning, who's losing, what quarterback's playing. What I need to do is I need to be ready to talk for hours about Christ. Not necessarily 4 or 6 hours, but I should be ready to give even a 15-minute talk to somebody about why I think Christ is important to their lives. So I need to be able to redeem that time. And that's a talent I need to work on, because that's a talent I don't have right now. I'd much rather go about my daily life, not try to start, because I'm afraid I might not have the answer they want. Well, I'll tell you what, I've walked out of a lot of businesses without the answer they wanted on equipment, but yet I've walked out of a lot of business with the answer they did want because it was fixed. So I need to redeem that time, and I need to be ready to answer every man, to use my talents. We need to look for doors to open for us. We need to walk in wisdom among them without, and we need to have good speech, tempered and with knowledge. I talk to Christ and God in prayer not as often as I should. That's another talent I need to work on. But I need to spend more time talking to God, because I think I just forget about it. I just don't take the time to do it. I spend a lot of time driving. But while I'm driving, I'm using my tablet over here trying to figure out the next job I'm going to. I'm maybe typing my time card up because I want to get to the next job site. Doing a lot of things to distract me. I should probably not try to throw one more thing into the mix there. Maybe I should. Maybe I should quit typing and start praying a little more. Because that's where I need to get my help from, is from heaven. So that's a talent. Another talent I need to work on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what? I can do more damage with my tongue than with any other part of my body. Okay? I can drop a tool out of my hand and maybe hit somebody's foot with it. Not going to do a lot of damage. Might make them hurt for a little bit. Not going to do a lot of damage. I can do a lot of damage with my tongue. I can guarantee, if it's never happened, but if there's a call made into Goodwin Tucker complaining about Doug, it's probably not going to be that he dropped the tool. It's going to be that he said things he shouldn't have said. His actions weren't professional towards the company. I need to be ready to have actions that are good towards Christ and what they see in Christ. Because as far as I know, they're not going to call up God and say, hey, by the way, you know Doug was here? No, God's going to know how I acted in that situation. We can do more damage with idle words spoken than with any other part of our body. And I think he tells us that when they bring the little children to Christ and the apostles say, get them out of here. He doesn't have time for that. And Christ tells them, I have time for the little ones. They are where the kingdom of heaven is coming from. We are all little ones at one time in our lives. Not speaking of Isaac and Blake and all the other little kids here. We are young in Christ at one time in our lives. And how people talk to us at that point in time in our lives has a great effect on how we use our talents in the church. I can't remember when I was baptized. I can remember when I was baptized because Speedway didn't have the best baptistry in the world. It was the old building. Scum the stuff off before you get in it. And I was the third one baptized that night. I think Lucy, Bernard, and me were all three baptized at the same night. I do remember eating dinner at Marvin's that day, that Sunday. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. But our family. So I do get invited to your house once in a while. No. Our family ate at your house that Sunday, and I remember it was that Sunday evening all three of us got baptized. Glenn Owens baptized us. I do remember that. But if I'd have come out of the water of baptism and walked out front and somebody shook my hand and said, okay, by the way, you're on to give lesson tomorrow. Would that have done me any good? Probably would have shoved me back in a hole. And that's not what I thought it was going to be all about. I had to build my talents up from as being a young child. I was probably, 13, 14. I don't know. I have a certificate somewhere. I'll find if I ever find it. I need to remember that I started out as a babe in Christ at that point in time. I knew a lot enough to be baptized, but I sure didn't know enough to get up there and give a lesson about it. But yet now, 50, 40 years later, I'm able to give lessons about it. I don't add very well, so 40. I know I'm 54, so if I go somewhere in the area of 40, I know I'm within the 13, 14-year range. But we can do more damage with idle words spoken than with any other part of our body. That's a talent I need to work on because I can shut somebody down real quick just by saying things to them, and that's a sad thing because I can do more damage that way. James chapter 1, verses 19, starting in the 19th verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We get that backwards. We're slow to hear, quick to wrath, and real fast to speak. And that could do a lot of damage by doing that. We need to build our talents the way God tells us to build them. We need to be swift to hear. Okay, I have a problem. I need to talk to you about it. Slow to speak. Well, I know what your problem is. We'll take care of it right here. No, that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear slow talk, how to take care of the problems. And slow to wrath. Well, I've talked to you about this 20, 30 times. It's just not worth talking to you anymore about it. What good's that going to do? You know? Isaac comes over, and we have the tree in the front room, and he touches one of the ornaments. No, Isaac. Well, the first time, he didn't do much. I raised my voice. Isaac, no. Boy, nothing hurts worse than to see your grandson go over and get on his knees and start crying. Yeah, you know, Grandpa's got to run over and grab him at that point in time, make friends with him again. But sometimes if I know how to work patience with my grandkids, with my kids, why can I not learn to work patience with those around me? Because I can do more damage with an idle word spoken out of wrath than I can if I listen and then I'm slow to speak. Verse 25 of that thing. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Are we looking into the perfect law of liberty? I think we have. That's why we're here. The perfect law of liberty, which separates us from death through sin. That is the perfect law of liberty. We are looking into that. And we're continuing therein. But we need to not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work. We need to use our talents. Okay? God gave us talents. He gave us each different talents. I'm not going to require somebody to go out there and crawl into that sign out there and tell me why it ain't working. Because there's only maybe half a dozen of us in here that would know what we're doing. The other half of us would probably have a mess on our hands. I'm not going to ask anybody to do that. But yet I am going to ask myself to try to study a little more. Try to read a little more. And it's going to be a struggle because that's something I haven't done a lot of. Old habits are hard to break. And I got a lot of old habits I need to break. But we need to use our talents that are given. God gave me the talents to do these things. I need to be willing to do them. In order to get those talents, we need to become a member of the body of Christ. I mean, we have talents before we become a member of the body of Christ. I mean, a man can get up and give a perfect lesson if he's read the Bible. But yet, if he's not a member of the body of Christ, what good does it do? He's using his talents, but he's not going to reap any reward from God for that. That there's going to be vain talk in his part. I need to become a member of God Christ's body. I need to become a member of the church. I need to put away childish things. That's hard for me because I got a lot of childish things. I like to be a child sometimes. But being serious, I need to put away childish things. I need to remember, I need to grow up into a man of stature, a man in Christ, or a woman in Christ. In order to do that, I need to use my talents. And my talent is to study the Word and to realize that there is a better way. And it's through Christ's death and resurrection, through baptism for the remission of sins. If you have not accepted that challenge tonight, if you have not been baptized, which most of us probably have, but there may be some out here that haven't. We're always given the opportunity. If for some reason you've fallen away, because it's easy to do, if you've fallen away, we're always given the opportunity to come back and restore ourselves into God's good grace as we stand and sing the closing song.